ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to another edition of Nosebleeds, WFUV Sports' exclusive Major League Baseball podcast. How's it going, everybody? Will Talent here with you today. And alongside me, Lauren Mondarulli and Max Spitza. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, we had a lot of baseball to talk, so I'm excited about that. We're in, you know, prime summertime, really exciting time in baseball right before the All-Star break. Unfortunately, New York's not looking too great on either team, but we'll get into it.
Yeah, just like Lauren said, right before the All-Star break, an exciting time. Excited to start seeing some home runs and Pete Alonso doing what he does best, which is only compete in the home run derby.
Pete Alonso is back in the home run derby and an All-Star this year. We'll get into that conversation in just a little bit. Definitely some thoughts and some takes on Pete Alonso being there, but for the home run derby, that's his thing. I would love to see him win that again. Love when guys really dominate that event. Pretty solid field too, but let's just jump right into it. It's going to be a little bit more of a simpler show for you guys today. It's just some Yankees and Mets, our locals, and then we're going to talk about the All-Star game rosters, maybe hit on a little bit of the home run derby field as well. The $2 million man, and it seems like his last six or seven starts are just not where the Yankees need him to be. They did go out and win yesterday, and I'm really not going to gripe about anything about that win yesterday. You can talk about all the bad play there was, because there was definitely a lot of bad play. You win a game 2-1, you have missed opportunities. That's just kind of how the game is going for the Yanks. But Max, I'll start with you. They win 2-1 yesterday because of Trent Grisham, but outside of that, they have the worst record in Major League Baseball in the last 30 calendar days. What is going on in the Bronx? And maybe a little bit of trade deadline speculation. They can't fix everything, right? What areas of this team do you think the Yankees should really attack at for the July trade deadline?
So you mentioned it right away, Trent Grisham. I think that's the first person to go for the Yankees. I don't know exactly who they're going to get from him, because to be honest, Trent Grisham has never been 100%. You trade him for one. He's not a one-for-one guy. You got to add some people with him. And I mean, that's coming from a Brewers fan, not a big fan of Trent Grisham. But Yankees overall, you know, they start off really hot, and it's just kind of what they do. I mean, it's really going to be up to how they come back after the All-Star break. It's a necessary break for them. Some teams are getting hot. They're cooling off. It's going to be a great break for them, because it's going to give them a chance to regroup, have some players get a little bit healthier, because that's a big thing with the Yankees. I mean, Aaron Judge is often injured. Stan often gets injured. It's going to be a great break. Give those two a little bit of rest. Let them have some fun in the let all the Yankees have some fun in the All-Star game. And I think, yeah, they're not playing great, but they still have a chance. They still have a chance to get past these Orioles, and I think it's a great opportunity for them to take a break.
There's, in my opinion, a lot needs to be done to get the Yankees back up on top. First, I just want to talk about their starting pitching. The five-man rotation really fell apart, it seems, when Gerrit Cole returned. You know, Clark Schmidt got on that injured list after, what, it was May 30th or May 29th, somewhere at the end of May. And right after then, they were still strong. But then Gerrit Cole came back, and everyone else was like, okay, the best is back. Let's settle down. And everyone just kind of went in this slump right away. But I want to keep our five-man rotation. I think they're really good. They're just going through a slump. We're seeing Luis Gil, Nestor Cortez, and Marcus Stroman coming back. They're having shorter outings, kind of around the four-inning stretch. But I think that's going to be a good workup to get back to that six-, seven-inning stretch that we need these starters to make. But then I want to focus on the infield. And Will, I know you were on the show with me last time when I said I want to get rid of Gleyber. And I'm going to like expand on that just a little bit. LeMahieu, Cabrera, and Gleyber add absolutely nothing to the lineup. Their bats are atrocious. And it's just, when your offense is struggling as much as it is right now, you win a 2-1 game against the Tampa Bay Rays, who are also a struggling team. you can't accept that two runs is going to always get you a win. So I would like to see the Yankees trade to the Angels and the Yankees receive utility man Luis Rengifo. I'm going to say this name wrong. I'm so sorry. Luis Rengifo. He's batting 315 and has 22 stolen bases. This season, he has primarily played second base and third base. So those are two major holes that we need filled in, especially with Glaber entering free agency. If we don't get rid of him at this trade deadline, we'll have him hopefully for this next season, the Luis Rengifo for the next season. And that'll be just a really great fit within the Yankees and another bat to add into this lineup to help Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and now Ben Rice.
Yeah, Rengifo is an interesting name you bring up, Lauren. I haven't heard his name come up for a guy that the Yankees could, you know, bring on. But I like the case that you build for him because he definitely would add something to what's going on with the Yankees. And that's a whole lot of nothing. And he, to his credit, has had a very good season. A utility player, too, always helps. There's a few names out there that I'm still eyeing for the Yankees. I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but I'm still a big fan of Ryan McMahon and Brendan Donovan. With Colorado and St. Louis, respectively. But any kind of infield depth, it needs to happen. Even in this struggle, the Yankees are still averaging about 5 runs a game, which is really, really incredible to me. I don't know how they're doing that with how quiet their bats have been. So the offense on paper still ranks in the top percentile in Major League Baseball. But the one thing that kind of just never got off the ground was their infield defense. And from last year, you had the Gold Glove at shortstop with Anthony Volpe. You have a former Gold Glover in Anthony Rizzo and former Platinum Glover in Jose Trevino. Obviously, he was hurt last year. Rizzo was hurt last year. But DJ LeMahieu, also another guy that could kind of pick it with the glove. Defensively, DJ has been fine, but I do agree with you, Lauren. His offensive struggles are just they're not just like, all right, whatever. They significantly have hurt this team. He's just now kind of getting into some kind of a groove. Few multi-hit games over the last week or so, but once you get out of 1-2-3 for the Yankees, and it's really like 2-3 anywhere else right now. Well, I'll give Ben Rice some credit. So 1-2-3, 4-9 is just non-existent. It's the non-existent part of the lineup, and teams have figured it out. You just walk Aaron Judge and you walk Juan Soto, next guy might just bounce into a double play, and there you go, one pitch gets you two outs. And that's another big thing that's killed the Yankees, hitting the ball on the ground too much. And I don't like to even put it that way, because I'm of the thought, you know, you put the ball in play and things will happen. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but things will happen. The Yankees' timely hitting has just not been there whatsoever. And it's just all part of the rut that they're in. With the starting pitching, though, too, I'm glad that you brought that up, Lauren. And that's kind of where I want to go with the Yankees discussion now. And then that is, yes, when Gerrit Cole came back, it was like this rotation just completely evaporated. They were probably one of, if not the best starting rotations in Major League Baseball. And then the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner comes back, and then they're like one of the worst rotations in all of baseball. I think the biggest thing with the Yankees in terms of their starting rotation is the home run ball. It's a start with like Carlos Rodon against Cincinnati, gave up 3 runs. All of them came on home runs, and the Yankees lost the game 3-2. So the offense isn't playing well, but you're not making the pitches where you need to make them, and the balls are flying. Stroman, same deal, gave up 5 runs against the Reds as well, and 2 of them were long balls. Yesterday, Stroman was really solid, 4 1/3, 7 innings, 7 hits, 1 earned run, 2 Ks, 2 walks. That's what you're kind of looking for out of Stroman. But Max, I'll go back to you. Do you see the Yankees now, even with Clark Schmidt coming back, do you see them in the market at all for a starting pitcher? Obviously, you have Garrett Crochet out there, but do you realistically see the Yankees tackling their starting pitching, or do you think they kind of just roll with what they have?
I think they're just going to roll with what they have. I mean, you look at these past 10 games. Yeah, they get swept by the Reds. Yeah, they have a couple rough games against the Red Sox. They're also scoring 16 runs against the Red Sox, 8 and I think it was 11 runs against the Blue Jays. Like, they're pretty dominant hitting-wise. Now it's up to their starting pitchers just get him through to that bullpen. I think another big thing has been Clay Holmes hasn't been as great as he was in the beginning, did get that save against Tampa Bay, but he's going to come back. The starters, they don't need any more starters. I think what it is maybe picking up one guy in the bullpen who can fill those middle innings just so you can get back to Clay Holmes. Because Clay Holmes, with that save, I think he's going to get back on track, and it's going to be great for them. And I just don't think they need any more starters, especially their offense. Like, while they may not be consistent, they can hit, and they can do it really well. And they've shown that time and time again. Now it's just up to the starting pitchers to be healthy, and I don't think they need anyone else. I mean, they've proven with that rotation that they can all do what they're being paid to do.
I completely agree. I do not see them bringing in a new starting pitcher, getting rid of whoever they want to get rid of. I saw a quote from Matt Blake. I didn't like actually watch the interview. I just read in an article, but he was saying it's like this happens every season. Every pitcher will go through a slump, and you just hope four or five of them never go in the slump at the same time. But that's just how it lined up this year. You just got to give it its time. It'll be over very soon. As we're seeing, these pitchers are doing better. We're still struggling with Rodon, but he had a bad season last year. He's injury prone. So maybe it's just a little slip up that he's having, and he'll be back in the next couple starts, I'm hoping. Gerrit Cole's looking better again. For Gerrit Cole's first start, I remember it wasn't too great, but I wasn't expecting him to be perfect Cy Young again on his first start. So I'm thinking a few more starts with him. Luis Gil's looking better again. He had those couple rough, four or five starts, and then he'll be bouncing back as well. Nestor, we'll see how he does today down in Tampa. Hopefully his away trip slump is gone as well, but I really like his stuff. And like Will, as you said, Stroman looked really good last night.
Yeah, Nestor is interesting too. I'm glad you brought him up, Lauren, because he's an example of those kind of streaky pitchers. Sometimes he'll just give up a ton of runs, or he'll look like the Cy Young voted pitcher that he was a few years ago. And he's coming off of some good starts, but yes, you're absolutely right though, Lauren. The road splits are very jarring. He just pitches a lot better at Yankee Stadium, and Tampa's not the easiest place to just play in general. But we'll see. I think it would be a really nice start for him. Probably his last start, if I'm not mistaken, until the All-Star break. Yeah, it will be. They got three more games against Baltimore. So one more good start. So for Stroman as well, what you want to see a lot of these starting pitchers is just kind of finish their last start on some kind of high note. Doesn't have to be, you know, a no hitter kind of high note, but just something to be like, hey, all right, now I get a little bit of a break. I get to reset, get to see where everything I kind of went wrong in the span from mid-June to where we are now, and just get a little reset. The Yankees are definitely in dire need of this reset. But as you brought up too, Max, Clay Holmes is, he's probably the streakiest pitcher in the bullpen, and he is the closer, which is very, very concerning. They should have went out, and they didn't tackle the bullpen enough in the offseason, in my opinion. And they kind of just got lucky in the beginning with how good everyone was doing. Literally, everyone in the bullpen was lights out. But Clay Holmes has that tendency where he will get rocked again and again, and then he'll be like one of the best pitchers that you see out of the back half of the bullpen. He's been going through these different stints now for a few years. And yesterday was a good example of, yeah, Clay Holmes can come in and get four or five outs, but then when he needs the three outs like he needed against Boston, it's like a whole big jigsaw puzzle for him sometimes. He has that one pitch with the sinker. He's got other pitches too, but that he's sinker dominant. And that's where I think he kind of runs into a lot of trouble, because when you throw one pitch that frequently, these guys in the major leagues are going to tee it up. They're going to figure out how to hit that. So the Yankees, I think for myself, in terms of deadline stuff, infield depth, bullpen, and there's a whole other different holes on this team that they should, you know, look at, but not for the deadline, because there's just too much for the deadline right now. You look at first base. I know Ben Rice has been great. Still, like, Anthony Rizzo is going to be out until however long. Still trying to find another option there. JD Davis has come in, hasn't really done anything. I can't even tell you the last time that he's played a game for them. So You know, it's Ben Rice and JD Davis. The catching situation is still kind of up in the air with Wells and Trevino just kind of getting run all over. Everybody steals bases against the Yankees. Everybody. The Red Sox do it the best. As soon as someone gets on, they're off. They're already on second base, and it's not even a question. So the Yankees, they also need Judge and Soto to get back into a little bit of some kind of rhythm. Soto specifically, he's been kind of cold the last, you know, 2-3 weeks or so. And I say cold, he gets on base multiple times a game, but the offensive production that they need out of Juan Soto, we got to start seeing that a little bit more for this team to get back on track. And one last note I want to talk about with the Yankees, and I'll start with you, Lauren, is the significance of Giancarlo Stanton's absence. This is a guy that had an opportunity to be an all-star this year, just kind of missed out because he got hurt at really the wrong time during all-star voting. And he's a very, very legitimate threat in that 4, 5, and 6 hole, wherever you want to put him, mainly 4 and 5, but love him in the 5 hole. I think having Verdugo and now Rice in the 4 hole, whoever it is, as long as it's a lefty that breaks up Judge and Stanton, that's really worked this year. But the absence of Giancarlo Stanton day by day becomes increasingly more important and significant for the Yankees, at least I think.
No, I completely agree. And without Stanton, the Yankees don't really even have a DH. Like right now, I didn't check out the lineup for today, but I know yesterday they had Aaron Judge as the DH. The day before they had Aaron Judge as the DH and Trent Grisham in center. But Aaron Judge in center also brings Aaron Judge's bat and then Stanton's bat as well. And you're just really missing that right now. And I've seen a few rumors about Stanton's return after the All-Star break, a little bit after the All-Star break. Boone didn't really say an exact timeline, but he kind of hinted at the no rehab assignment. And I actually don't hate that. Usually I'm all for a rehab assignment, especially for either like a position player or someone older like Stanton who is injury prone. But since Stanton's just coming back to hit and the Yankees are in desperate need of like bouncing back to how they were in the beginning of the season, I don't really mind it, especially also focusing on the atmosphere of the stadiums that he would be playing in. If he's going to the minors for a rehab assignment, it's not going to be as electric as he plays in Yankee Stadium or any other stadium that the team goes to. So I'm really hoping Stanton comes back very soon after the All-Star break because it is so apparent that he's not in this lineup.
And Will, you mentioned it earlier. When it comes to the Yankees lineup, you can walk Soto, you can walk Judge, and you get through the rest of it, right? With Stan in the lineup, you can't really do that. Yeah, he's streaky at times, but he's still Giancarlo Stan. He's still that massive force in the box that can do damage at any time. So you can't really dance around Soto and Judge when you have to face Stan two batters later. So him not being there is just basically pitching staff see an absence in that middle of the order, and they're not afraid to take it a little bit wide, a little bit high on Judge and Soto.
Yeah, that presence that Stanton brings, even at 34 years old, it's very important for the structure of this entire lineup. Because like you said, Max, it's just another guy that you really need to make sure that you're pitching to the scouting report and you're pitching to him correctly, because, you know, he chases those sliders. He's a strikeout merchant, but at the same time, when he runs into one, he creates offense for the Yankees. And when you move him down to 5, like they've been doing this year, the depth that the lineup has when he's in there is very, very scary. It's scary how good that offense is when he is there and they're all clicking. But a lot of question marks thrown up with the Yankees. Hopefully they can salvage their first series win since the second week of June against Kansas City. They have not won a series since then. That's unbelievable. It's literally a month. I can't believe it. What a terrible stretch of baseball. That's all I can really say with the Yankees, just a terrible stretch of baseball, but it's why it's a very long season. You keep fighting. Stanton should be coming back, as you were saying, Lauren. No minor league rehab assignment. Also, I'm kind of a fan of that. Get him back in the lineup. Get him right back to major league pitching. Because I feel like this happens a decent amount, depending on the hitter, especially someone like Giancarlo Stanton. You just want to see them like getting pitches, and you want them to see the pitches as well. But that there's a difference. There's always been a difference between Double A, Triple A, and the major leagues. That's why not everyone on those rosters are in the major leagues, you know. So get him back to major league pitching and back into that routine as fast as you can, because you need his bat in the lineup so ever desperately before you even go out and acquire anybody right now. So the Yanks going to try to go for a series win in Tampa, would be really nice. Then they're off to Baltimore. That series already has me stressing out, and it's tomorrow. But Yanks behind Baltimore now, have to try to gain some ground wherever they can going into the All-Star break, because they also open the All-Star break with a ton of American League East opponents. July and August filled with American League East opponents for the Yankees. And, you know, they do not play well against the American League East, just plain and simple. So they need to really pick it up for the coming weeks. And I emphasize that because of the American League East schedule. They can beat everybody else, but got to beat the teams that are directly in front of you or even behind you. The Red Sox, five game gap now. That was a 15 game gap like a month and a half ago. So the Yanks got to try to steal one tonight. But let's go cross town to Queens now. Let's talk about those New York Mets. They've kind of come back down to earth a little bit from the Grimace stuff and the oh my God, Jose Iglesias stuff. But I love that. At first, I was like getting tired of hearing about the Grimace stuff. And then I saw that picture of Grimace in the concourse and all the phones were up with the lights. I just thought that was so, so funny. And it's just great. It's great for baseball in general, too. But the Mets, even though they don't have a better record than the Yankees, they destroyed the Yankees and they should have. This is a team that has fun, even though they're not way ahead. They know how to have fun. The oh my God thing with Jose Iglesias was really fun to watch. Just, you know, win a game and then they start performing on the field. And speaking of Jose Iglesias, that's kind of where I want to start the conversation with the Mets, especially as the trade deadline looms closer and closer. Probably another three episodes of Nosebleeds and then we're right at the trade deadline. But Jose Iglesias has played well enough to kind of flex Jeff McNeil out of this rotation in the middle infield for the New York Mets. And that kind of poses the question. I'll start with you, Max. What do the Mets do with Jeff McNeil? Just plain and simple. What's the deal with McNeil?
It really comes down to how confident they feel in getting that wild card spot or even possibly winning the NL East, which is, even with that large streak they had, even with all those games they won, they're still 13 and a half games behind. They're beating the Nationals right now 7-0. But guess what? It's the Nationals. So at the end of the day, Jeff McNeil is not going to be traded with a bunch of prospects to try and get that big player. He's old. He plays old. He's been kind of a problem ever since the Brewers series, to where he's kind of it seems like his frustration's coming out instead of passion. It seems a little bit more frustration instead of passion. And I think that they're going to find a way to get rid of him, maybe for some type of pitcher, maybe a utility guy, but they're not going to get much out of McNeil this year. I think maybe last year, 2 years ago, they could have gotten someone. But at the same time, I don't see the harm of keeping him when you have someone like Iglesias playing, who hasn't always been a all-year guy. Like, he's had his moments this year, great defensively. But you kind of want to keep that option open because injuries happen. If they want to make that push, you're going to need all the guys you can take. So I'm really not sure what they do. I think it really depends on how confident they are that they can come back from 13 and a half games in an NL division that's very strong this year. And I don't know what they're going to do with it. I mean, it's the Mets. They'll find a way to mess it up, but that's how it is.
I see them keeping McNeil. You know, McNeil has been with the franchise for a little bit. He knows them. He understands them. And even with Iglesias and his, like, super clutch at-bats, you're not going to want to have Iglesias playing every single game. Max, as you said, he's not an all-year type guy. You want to have someone to be there for him in case something goes wrong, put McNeil back in. But there's also just so much more to look into this. Like, I feel like the infield is not the Mets' biggest priority this trade deadline. I want to, like, look at their bullpen because their bullpen was really struggling. They traded with the Rays. They got Maton, and that's going to be an interesting addition to the bullpen. So we could, if we're going to talk about that, we'll go more into detail. But I see them keeping McNeil. Iglesias and them could go back and forth, and we'll see how Mendoza deals with that.
I'm really happy that's where you went with it, Lauren, because that's exactly where I wanted to go with the Mets. And that's what I think is exactly holding them back. I think, you know, there's some holes in the offense that could always be filled. But overall, I am a fan of the Mets offense. When they were struggling in the beginning, I was a proponent of just stick with them. They have the names, they have the experience in the lineup, and their offense isn't, you know, earth shattering, but it's not bad by any stretch. That bullpen is really bad though. And it really, really hurts when Edwin Diaz is not one of the top closers in the league. And especially with his contract, they paid him like he's supposed to be the best closer in baseball. And he, you know, that's what happens with closers, though. They get figured out until they figure something else out that they can improve upon. That's just how it goes with relief pitchers. That's why their, you know, their lifespan isn't as long for some major leaguers. But yeah, Phil Maton, he comes over from Tampa Bay. Solid guy. Hasn't really been solid this year, though. He's really solid with Houston, but over a 4.5 ERA, but deepens the Mets bullpen out a little bit, and that's what they need right now. If you're the Mets, I don't know if you're going all out for some bullpen arm at all at the trade deadline. I'm really going to stand pat on them just trying to retool, not saying give it all up, but I just think this team is in such a great spot to be really, really good and like on top of the NL East for at the very least at the top of their division. Could be the top of the league, could be baseball. I'm a big fan of the farm system, so I don't think they really need to go crazy, but getting depth like Maton is really important because it was very, very bleak in that Mets bullpen. But Kodai Senga, another name I want to bring up, also very important to see if the Mets are going to compete. Now, it kind of is tough with his return. He may make like a start, if that, before the trade deadline. So you don't really know what you're going to get out of Kodai Senga, but 2 2/3 scoreless innings in his second rehab start. Max, he is Cy Young votes, Rookie of the Year votes. He's so important to this team. Does Senga coming back impact the Mets' stance on whether they want to be buyers or sellers at the deadline?
I think most definitely. I actually just looked. The Mets are only a half a game out of that wild card spot if you were to finish at the end of this or before the All-Star break, which is incredible for where they started. So I think right now they're definitely buyers. You see, like, they went on that streak. I think without that winning streak and without that momentum, they're definitely sellers. They're getting rid of some players. Maybe here and there, but with him coming back, I think they're gonna try and be a buyer, try and see if they can find someone. I don't know who exactly they would go for, especially when you have a shortstop such as Lindor, who's definitely should have made the All-Star game but didn't. But stuff like that, and you have Pete Alonso, you have Jose Iglesias. You know, they, like you were saying earlier, they're a fun team. Who do you buy that will mend into that culture instead of disrupting it and sending them all the way back and out of that wild card spot? So I think they're going to be buyers, but it's going to be a very tricky, probably bullpen, as Lauren was talking about, to not mess up that lineup and mess up that mojo.
I definitely see the Mets being buyers this trade deadline season, and which is really exciting. I can't remember the last time they were buyers. So I'm really excited to see where this Mets team goes. I'd really like to see them get Tanner Scott from the Marlins. He's a very steady presence in the bullpen. This season, he has 13 saves, a 1.42 ERA, and 42 strikeouts over 38 innings. And he's not some big name guy that you're like, or spending all this money on trading away all your key players, because, you know, as Maxie said, they're so close to that final wild card spot that you want to keep all your pieces. You want to make sure everything's still working, and you just want to add some simple key presence to your bullpen, to your lineup, whatever they're focusing on. Carlos Mendoza did say, or no, not Carlos Mendoza, I'm sorry, David Stern said that they're looking for relievers. That's really what they're going to be focusing on this trade deadline season. So that was really an easy thing to figure out what they were going to be looking for. And then you just got to find the simple addition to this bullpen.
Tanner Scott's a great name too. I think he would fit well with the Yankees as well, which is pretty fun. The Mets and the Yankees kind of, I think at least for the trade deadline, definitely in the offseason, are going to be kind of battling for some names to fill very similar needs. Tanner Scott is definitely one of those guys that fits both of those teams. The only thing with Tanner Scott is that he's on a one-year deal right now, and that means the Mets would just have him for, you know, the rest of this year, and then he's a free agent. And that's why, for me, Tanner Scott makes more sense with the Yankees, because the Yankees, I think it'd be easier to just cut ties with him, whereas the Mets, the Marlins are going to command some kind of price for Tanner Scott, because first-time All-Star, he's also been really, really good for them for 3 years now. He was pretty solid in Baltimore as well. So if you're the Mets, I don't want you to touch that farm system if it means taking away. Just add to it. I'm so big on them adding to their farm system, because I'm really, really confident that they could have one of the best in Major League Baseball, like top three best in Major League Baseball. But the Mets, very fun team. Up, it is now 7-0. Oh, they just won. They just won. The Mets beat the Nationals, a team who's also declared they're going to be sellers. So the Mets, interesting spot, very middling spot right now. And that's, you know, fine for where the Mets are, especially with the kind of momentum that they've been able to garner for themselves over the last couple of weeks. It's going to be very interesting going down the stretch, and not just with the Mets, but the entire National League wild card race. Very tight right
Final
now. The Mets, as you're saying, Max, just a half game out of the third spot
for today.
And then the Diamondbacks are game
Some
behind
All-Star
them.
Game talk.
The Giants 2 games behind them
are out,
the and so on and so forth. The only teams that are really, really out of it.
Let's just go through
the Marlins. Even the Nationals, only 5.5 games out.
And
briefly,
with their roster
to start things off, it's going to be Pete
Alonso,
Alec
Boehm.
They really show like, hey, we're out. Even though I just said that they're sellers.
Teoscar Hernandez, Marcelo Ozuna,
still very doable.
Jose Ramirez and
Bobby Witt
Jr.
make a push for it. So the National League wild card. Is something
kind of an underwhelming field, in my opinion.
It's been like that all
but
year
still,
long. Too. Lot
it's going
to
be exciting.
The
Home Run
Derby
is
always really
sure.
exciting. The name that intrigues me the most is Adolis Garcia. I know Pete Alonso will have the upper hand in this competition until he's completely done with it. But if I were to pick right now, I may go Adolis Garcia, just given the fact, you know, he's a pure power hitter. Some of these guys are not pure power hitters, which is fine. You know, they still hit home runs, but. And just being in Texas, being the home player, so to say, it's so cool. It's such a good vibe. I remember when Bryce Harper won in 2018 when the Nationals had the All-Star game. I don't even think he was an All-Star, but he made that Home Run Derby so exciting, and he won it too in dramatic fashion. So if I were to pick anybody, I'd go with Adolis Garcia. But overall, kind of an underwhelming field, still a very exciting event. Lauren, I'll start with you. What do you think of the field? Who do you think is going to win? Give us your thoughts.
I'm excited. I always love watching the Home Run Derby. And I heard the rules changed up a little bit this season. I don't really understand them yet. I haven't read up on them. But I'm really excited to see how it plays out. I just find it really hard to root against Pete Alonso in the Home Run Derby. You know, he takes this so seriously, unlike any other player I've ever seen. You know, all these players are going to All-Star Week, looking to have fun, having a relaxing time, seeing old teammates, new friends, and trying to make these new connections. Pete Alonso is there to work, and it's unlike anything ever. So it's just, you know, he's won it back-to-back before joining Ken Griffey Jr. and Yoenis Cespedes in the two-run back-to-backs. But I'd like to see Pete Alonso win again, especially bringing some more hype to New York Mets and trying to get that drive going again, as we were talking before. So it'll just be really fun to see Pete Alonso win again.
I find it very underwhelming. You have a lot of infielders that are the same build. They're that skinny, athletic shortstop that's either converted to a third baseman or truly a shortstop. I just think, like, if I'm watching a Home Run Derby, I want to see some big guys like Pete Alonso hitting the ball as far as they possibly can instead of just trying to hit it over the fence. I think
I mean, we went for last year's was, I think, a better lineup, but we've seen time and time again with the Home Run Derby, it's not always the biggest person who's going to win. Sometimes you have someone who comes out of nowhere and hits a bunch of home runs. But I mean, Pete Alonso, he's perfected it at this point. He likes that little bonus of money midway through the season. He likes getting that. But I mean, one thing I can say about the Home Run Derby is I do like that they've kept it to the All-Star teams instead of inviting people who weren't a part of the All-Star teams. Because I believe everyone on this list is either a starter or a reserve on the team.
Yeah, they are.
And I mean, I've always thought it was weird when you invite someone who wasn't on the All-Star team to just come and compete in the Home Run Derby. I feel like you kind of need to earn your spot and earn that chance to win all that money that they win in there by making the All-Star team in the first place, not just being the biggest guy on who can hit the ball farthest. You know what I mean? So I'm excited for it. I think it's always super fun to watch, always super fun, especially for those sports bettors out there. Definitely a fun experience. So I'm excited for it. And it's probably my favorite part of the All-Star weekend and week. So.
Yeah, it's something that I think that it's about time they kind of spruce it up a little bit. You know, with the NBA, they got the skills challenge, which, you know, it's not the same as like the dunk contest or the 3-point contest. And even those two events have taken a hit in the last few years or so. They're just not as exciting as they used to be. And the Home Run Derby has maintained that same excitement, but there's definitely, I think, different things that they could possibly do to make All-Star weekend, you know, or it's not even the weekend, it's like in the middle of the week, but they can spruce it up a little bit. But the Home Run Derby is a staple. And I like that take too, Max, keeping it to who earned their All-Star game spot instead of just bringing in other people to do it. I don't mind that, but I like the stance of, yeah, you know, this is part of All-Star weekend. So let's have All-Stars do it. I know one name that was floated out there that was a potential candidate was Tyler O'Neill on the Red Sox to compete in the Home Run Derby. He was the only name that I saw of the non-All-Stars that could have possibly taken a spot there. But I do like that it is all All-Stars this year. And, you know, it'll be fun to watch. We'll see. There's some guys with some experience in this event. I wouldn't count out Jose Ramirez. He's competed in this a few times now. But at the end of the day, I know I mentioned Adolis Garcia as well. This is Pete Alonso's competition to lose at this point. It would be really cool. He's got it down to a whole routine, as you were talking about, Lauren. It's like another part of his job. That's just what makes it really cool. One of the purest power hitters in the power competition, so to say. So always a fun time. Can't wait to sit down and watch it. But before we go, let's just talk about these rosters really quick. They're not completely finalized yet, obviously still with the whole series left to go for a majority of Major League Baseball. Some guys, you never know, could get hurt. Hopefully that is not the case, but guys drop out, things of that nature, could have a couple stragglers added along the way. So let's go with the American League starters. First, it's going to be Adley Rutschman behind the dish. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at first base. It was Jose Altuve as the starter at second base. Now it's Marcus Semien. Third base, Jose Ramirez. Shortstop, Gunnar Henderson. Outfield, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Stephen Kwan. DH, Yordan Alvarez. Now, for the first time in a little bit, for myself at least, and we'll get to the National League too, I don't see a lot of misses here for the starters. There's some guys, we'll talk about Christian Walker, we'll talk about Lindor not making it as well when we get to the National League. But for the most part, the American League, pretty solid in terms of having the best guy at the position. The only gripe I have is Marcus Semien. And it's not because he's bad. I just don't think that he's having that kind of a season to be a starter at second base. I know second base is kind of a thin position, and Altuve was the clear-cut starter, and he did earn that spot, but he's not going to play. But Semien's not even batting over 230 right now. He's playing okay. I think a lot of it had to do with it being in Texas. Good thing for the home crowd, but of the American League starters, and let me just run through the reserves as well, and then we'll get some thoughts in there. Salvador Perez, Carlos Correa, Josh Naylor, Isak Paredes, Willie Castro. That one I'm very surprised about, but good for him. Jordan Westberg, Bobby Witt Jr., Jaron Duran, Riley Green, Kyle Tucker, David Fry, and then Rafael Devers, who will be unavailable but did make the team. So overall, I can't really complain. Start with you, Lauren. What are your thoughts on the American League starters and just overall all-star roster?
I'm pretty happy with it. As you said, it's like usually I'll have like one or two players. I'm like, you don't deserve to be here. I think he should be here. But overall, I think it's really good. I kind of like Marcus Semien in place of Jose just because I hate him. Just I'm a Yankees fan. I really dislike him. And I also just like the dynamic of having a home guy in the starting roster. You know, there wasn't someone on the Rangers in that starting position, and now there is. I think that'll be really great just for the atmosphere. It's a really good experience for Semien. So we'll see how it goes. As for the reserves, again, Willie Castro, really shocked to see him there. But also going back to the pitchers in the American League, I was shocked to see Clay Holmes there. And I saw his reaction as well. He was like flabbergasted, like literally speechless. But I'm excited to see him there as well. But overall, I'm really happy with how American League shaped out to be.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it would have been nice to see Jose Altuve in there. He definitely deserved it again. The thing is, second base is just so weak. You even look at the reserves. Willie Castro is the only other second baseman in those reserves. Everyone else is third base, shortstop. And while it's the All-Star game, it doesn't matter anymore. They changed the rules. Yeah, granted, Bobby Witt Jr. could probably go play second base for a couple innings. They keep them pretty true to their positions. And, I mean, granted, I think, if anything, Marcus Semien didn't deserve it as a starter ahead of Willie. Willie's just hitting better. He's doing better. If anything, he should have been the starter with Marcus Semien. But I get it. They just won the World Series. It's in Texas. He was great last year. He's doing fine this year. That's okay. That makes sense. And then when it comes down to Clay Holmes, he had a great start. And I think that start has generally placed him in those relief pitchers and put him in that spot. And, I mean, there was no taking him out at that point. You got to have some Yankees in there. Like, you got to have some Yankee pitcher in there as well. And they didn't have any starters to put this year, so they put Clay Holmes in.
Yeah, I didn't even read off the pitchers, but the starters, Tyler Anderson, Corbin Burns, Garrett Crochet, Logan Gilbert, Tanner Houck, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, Tarek Skubal. I really have no complaints whatsoever. All of those guys have been phenomenal this year. But yes, I'm totally with you guys. The only question mark is Clay Holmes of the relief pitchers. It's Class A, Holmes, Mason Miller, and Kirby Yates, who's been having a great year for Texas. But yeah, Clay Holmes, as you were saying, Lauren, very surprised that he was even selected. He had all these plans, and then he found out that he was selected for the All-Star game. But I guess that just goes to how strong of a first half that the Yankees had, or not even first half, just first 2 months, that Clay Holmes was still able to get in, even through his recent struggles. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's a solid roster. I think this year, both sides, it's a pretty even slate here. I hope it's a good game. It usually is a solid game. Got to see the National League get a W here. But in terms of the National League, though, let's go through their elected starters. And it starts with William Contreras of the Brewers, one of Max's guys. Love that. He's been having an excellent season. Bryce Harper, Ketel Marte, Alec Bohm, Trey Turner, another Brewer on there. And maybe my favorite, too, for this list, Christian Yelich. Awesome to see him back in that form. And not just that form, you know, that he's an all-star, that he's a starter, that he is a starting outfielder for the National League. Really, really cool to see. Jurickson Profar, Fernando Tatis, and Otani. Shohei Otani will be the designated hitter. For the reserves, it's Will Smith, CJ Abrams, Pete Alonso, Luis Arraez, Mookie Betts, Ellie De La Cruz, Freddie Freeman, Ryan McMahon, Teoscar Hernandez, Jackson Merrill, Elliot Ramos, Brian Reynolds, Marcelo Zuna, And lastly, for the pitchers, it's Hunter Green, Shota Imanaga, Ronaldo Lopez, Chris Sale, Paul Skeens, Ranger Suarez, Logan Webb, Zach Wheeler. And for the relief pitchers, it's Ryan Helsley, Jeff Hoffman, Tanner Scott, Matt Strom, and Robert Suarez of the San Diego Padres. Tyler Glasnow also on there, but unavailable now with a little bit of a back injury. Now, with the National League, definitely some question marks. Starters, I'm totally fine with. Personally, I think all nine of those guys were very deserving of their nominations to be starters. I think each one of them has been single-handedly the best at their position, including Jerickson Profar. He's just been phenomenal this year. I don't see any other outfielder on here that should be starting over Jerickson Profar. But Pete Alonso on there definitely raises some questions, and Francisco Lindor not being on there raises some questions. Now, if I were Major League Baseball, Lindor has to get on there somehow, and I think he'd go on for Ryan McMahon. But the problem is that there's no other Rockies all-star. Ryan McMahon's been having a really solid season, but Lindor's been having a really great season. And Christian Walker also, if you break down the stats, Christian Walker is leading Pete Alonso in every single offensive category other than stolen bases, where they're tied with two. So that really shocked me. Good for Pete, but at the same time, some guys did get left off, and you know, Christian Walker definitely should be there. But I think above all else, Francisco Lindor should be there for sure. Now, I'll start with you, Lauren. Outside of that, if you have thoughts on Lindor too and Christian Walker, how do you like how the National League roster overall shook out?
I was really surprised with most of the reserves. You know, I think the only reason Pete Alonso is on this list is because he needs to be in the Home Run Derby. He, like, basically is the face of the Home Run Derby. We've talked about that a few minutes ago. But Francisco Lindor needed to find a way to be on this list, and I'm really upset that he's not. I saw a name before, and they just played the Mets. He just played against them. Where'd it go? Oh, Jake Irvin from the Nationals. I think he totally deserved a spot in the pitching rotation. Over his past 10 outings, he has an ERA 1.79, which is really just the greatest you could be right now, other than Paul Skeens. So it's just, I'm really upset with how a lot of this turned out, but I love their starting nine. I'm really excited to see them play.
Yeah, you know, I find it very interesting on a couple of these reserves. I agree fully with the starters. Everyone there fully deserved that. When it gets to the reserves, though, it's very difficult, especially in those middle infield. I really don't like seeing Mookie Betts. I know he's played infield the whole year, but he's also proven the whole year that he's not a true shortstop. He's not a true second baseman. Definitely could find someone better to do that for them. But there's a couple guys I'm thinking of, even Bryce Turang on the Brewers. I know it's a little biased, but he had a great season so far. He actually has a higher OPS than Luis Arias. The only thing is he's played about 60 games less due to an injury. But I mean, it's interesting to see a couple of these people. I mean, Freddie Freeman makes sense. CJ Abrams, very happy to see that. Because, I mean, when you also think about it, most of the reserves also picked by coaches and players instead of the fans. So this is really based on just how coaches see them. And I don't know. I think that maybe – I don't know. I mean, I get the whole he's the only Rockies, but I just don't think he deserves it in comparison to a couple other guys. But it's also very hard. The infield is always a very hard thing because you have to base it on a lot more than just home runs and hits like you can with the outfield. You have to base it on how well they're playing. There are also a lot of times in the beginning of the lineup if they're solid and they're doing a good job for their team. So besides that, looking at the starting pitchers, very happy to see Paul Skeens. I mean, he came in, and it's incredible for him to be an all-star when he didn't even start at the major league level for the beginning of the season. Like, he was in AAA for the beginning of the season, and then they bring him up, he becomes an all-star. I mean, I'm – No real complaints. I think they did overall a great job on both leagues for the All-Star game. Of course, Francisco Lindor, definitely deserved it. But then once again, where do you put him in there?
Yeah, it's tough. And you bring up Terang too. Terang has over a 4 WAR as well. I can't even count that as bias, to be honest with you, Max, because he really has been that good this year. But there's only so many spots. And speaking of Paul Skeens, I think that would be a great, great decision if Major League Baseball and the National League has him start for them in the All-Star game. It would just be awesome for Major League Baseball. Today, he threw 7 innings pitched. He gave up no hits. And he now is, let me see, I just saw this stat. In terms of Pirates history, I can't find it right now, but he had 11 strikeouts today. Oh, he's got the most 7-plus strikeout games by a rookie in Pirates history, and he has 8. And like you said, Max, he hasn't even played the full season in the majors. He started in AAA. So lighting the world on fire, former first overall pick. I think it would be a no-brainer to have him start the All-Star game, just throw him an inning or two, and then it's over and done with. But it would be great marketing. You have so many people glued to the TV for him starting the All-Star game. You see how many people watch his bullpens from the Grand Concourse, wherever he starts at. It's unbelievable. So overall, I'm not too disappointed in these All-Star selections whatsoever. I don't think anyone got highway robbed kind of thing. So overall, good job. And we're done with the first half. Just like that, we are done with the first half. It's the last nosebleeds of the 2024 first half, the Major League Baseball season. So lots more to come for Nosebleeds and Major League Baseball, but that will do it for this edition of Nosebleeds. For Lauren Mondarulli and Max Spitzer, I'm Will Towne. Thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the All-Star game as we get right in to the second half of the season.